Mm-hmm. This week is Shabbos Parsha Shlach. We're going to read about the people whom we call the miraculous. So we usually assume that just like Yeshua ben Nun sent miraglim, so Moshe Rabbeinu sent miraglim also. So the Jewish Agency is an organization that tries to encourage everybody to move there to Israel. So from all of the Divrei Torah, from all the Shurim that Rav Soloveitchik said over the years about Inyoni, Eretz Yisrael, they only published one drasha that he gave, not a Shira, a drasha. So he gave a drasha on Parsha Shlach, that it says in the Chumash, he sent the people... Yes?
Just hold it up to you, man.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Hey! Thank you,
sent the 12 representatives, Lasur Es Haaretz. Doesn't say miraglim. But Yeshua ben Nun, they're called miraglim. But here it says Lasur Es Haaretz. So they published the drasha that Rav Soloveitchik said that runs as follows. When we read different parts of the Tanakh, the relationship between the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael is described as one of a marriage. As if Bnei Yisrael are the husband, and Eretz Yisrael is the wife, and as if we're married to Eretz Yisrael. It says in Eicha, Oysto ki almano, that Yerushalayim and all of Eretz Yisrael is like an almana, not an almana whose husband died, but like an almana whose husband is away on a business trip and she's waiting for the husband to come back. So Bnei Yisrael is waiting for her husband, Eretz Yisrael is waiting for the Bnei Yisrael to come back. So the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is described in different places in Tanakh, not only in Megillah Seicha, as one of a marriage between a husband and a wife. And we have a din in the Gemara, you're not allowed to marry a girl unless you met the girl first. The Gemara says it's not a smart idea to marry a girl without dating her first. That's why even by the Chassidim, where they have an arranged marriage, they have the boy meet the girl for a few minutes, which is probably not sufficient. Years ago, there was the famous Aboisha Bik, Zichron Lebracha, was interviewed in the Yiddish newspaper, and he said that he takes care of so many gittin, it's terrible. He thought that it's not proper that a boy should get married to a girl unless they went out at least 8 dates beforehand. So at that time they quoted the Satmar Rebbe's response was, 8 dates. That Rivka says she's going to drop dead if her husband, if her son, Yankov, is going to go out on 8 dates. So, but there's an Indian to the chassan has to see the kala before they get married. So that was the one and only drasha that the Jewish Agency published from Rav Soloveitchik on the Indian of Eretz Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu never intended to send miracle. He intended that the chassan, Bnei Yisrael, should see the kala and fall in love, and the shluchim, not the miracle, the shluchim went lost of the sword, should come back and tell Bnei Yisrael the good report. And then they'll be happy and excited and thrilled about going through with this marriage, moving into Eretz Yisrael. Yiratzan, we should stop touring in Chutz Lortz. We should all move to Eretz Yisrael. Live there, Bekarav.
Amen.
This week is Shabbos Parsha Shlach. There is a famous Zohar on Parsha Shlach, where the Zohar tries to figure out what was the motivation of the 12 Meraglim to give such a negative report about Eretz Yisrael. Why were they interested in not entering Eretz Yisrael and staying in the Midbar? So Rabbi Chaim Yankov Goldwicht, Zichron Levracha, used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Keren B'Yavne. He was very fond of saying over this drasha, based on the Zohar, that the Nesim realized that as soon as Bnei Yisrael would move into Eretz Yisrael, they would lead a normal life of planting and harvesting and business and so on. They wouldn't be living off of the mud, and they wouldn't have the supernatural style of life that they had in the Midbar for 40 years. They would be ois machers. The whole Nesias, they were Nesiim. The whole Nesias was when they were in the Midbar. So because of this Negia, because they wanted to remain big machers, they wanted to remain the big Nesiim and leaders of the Jewish people, so this was what motivated them to try to discourage everyone from going to Eretz Yisrael, that they should remain in the Midbar. It's a lesson for all of us that people have a lot of negias in all the decisions that we make. And the end of this week's Sedra, Parshas Tzitzis, We have a din that most people are not aware of. The din is that the tzitzis should be hanging on the corner, on the four corners of the talis. The chutim, the string, should be notefes al hakeret. So you have the hole in the corner. Instead of having the strings hang down, the string should be hanging out sideways from the side of the garment and leaning down. Usually, even if you start davening with the tzitzis coming out from the side of the bag and hanging down, after a while it's going to be hanging down straight down. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should always try to straighten out the tzitzis, that it should be notefes al hakeret. There's even a big debate in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, on Shabbos, what of the 39 prohibited melachas is besakin mana? If you have something that's broken and you fix it, you have a twisted fork and you straighten it out, that's a melacha of besakin mana. So there's a besakin mana midirabbanan. Let's say if I have a puzzle, I have hadasim that a puzzle, because I have too many berries growing on the hadasim. So the Mishnah says if you rip off, if you pull off all the berries, you have more leaves than you have berries, then it's kosher. But it says, "Eimematim biyontem." You're not allowed to rip off the berries on yontem because that's misakin mona midirabbanan. That's what Tosis assumes. Some Rishonim disagree. They hold that Tzanisa misakin mona min haTorah. The Bikelege quotes the Rav Yoh. But the Tosis in Yuma and Daf Lamed Hey says that that's Tzanisa misakin mona midirabbanan. The Hadassim apostle calls mana has too many berries on it, and when you pull off the berries and make it kosher al pi halacha, that's called misakin mana. So there the hadassim are actually puzzle. Here the tzitzis is kosher, even if the chutim are hanging down, but you're not yotze the mitzvah l'chatchila unless it comes out from the side. So that's a machloikis in achrayim, and the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheitev, quotes a machloikis: is one permitted to fix the chutim hatzitzis on Shabbos? Is that misakin mana or not? The commentaries quote that the Rif in Maseches Sukkah has a comment. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim whether lulav absolutely requires eged. Do you have to tie together the hadassim and arabis with the lulav, or is it only a hider mitzvah to have it tied together? So we paskin that it's only a hider mitzvah l'chatchila. It's a hidden mitzvah, it's not miyakeh b'dieved. So the Rif comments on that Gemara. According to the opinion of Rav Yudah, according to the Tana who says that the eged, the tying together of the hadassim, arabis, and the lulav, is miyakeh b'dieved, then you're not allowed to put on the eged on yontif. On Shabbos we don't bench esrog, but on yontif you wouldn't be allowed to put it on because that's misakin money. You make the lulav kosher. But the way we paskin that it's not miyakeh b'dieved, then it's permissible to put on the eged. So how can you have a machlokes over here where they're fixing the chutei hatzitzis that it should come out from the side instead of hanging straight down? Why should anybody say that it's prohibited? Did the Rif say that that's okay? So the answer is it's not exactly the same as the Rif. The Rif's case, by eged, it's not that l'chatchila you need eged and b'dieved it's kosher without. It's kosher l'chatchila without an eged also, but it's a hider mitzvah. It's a hider mitzvah, that's not called misakin mana. But over here, l'chatchila, the tzitzis is pasul, if the strings are hanging down. L'chatchila, the mitzvah soy behechshir is that it should come out min atzad. So that's why here there's a machlikis, whether it's a violation of misakin mana or not. A lot of the barbature have a practice, it could be they all do, I don't know, I know some of them have it, that ensure that the chutei hatzitzis do not hang down, but rather hang out from the side, and then go down. So after they tie the first knot, they'll take one of the eight strings, before they start winding around the tzitzis, they'll take one of the eight strings, and they make another hole in the garment, near the edge, and they'll have one of the eight strings go through the hole, and then they'll continue tying the tzitzis. So they tie down the strings in such a way that it's impossible to hang down. It always comes out through the side. So that's a question whether that puzzles the tzitzis or not. If you have the strings tied down to the garment in such a way that it can't move around, it's not held down to the garment, it can't budge. So they follow the opinion that that's kosher. Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion that it's kosher. Okay. The end of this week's Sedra, in Parsha Shlach, we have the mitzvah of tzitzis. And there are two parts to the mitzvah of tzitzis. You have to have chutim, strings that are lavan, chutim that are tcheles. The tcheles has to be a specific color, which the Gemara says can be, there's an imitation tcheles that's known as kloilon. And the dictionary that Rashi used to use, we use a Jastrow now. Jastrow was a conservative rabbi in the United States. In the days of Rashi and Tosfos, they used to use the Aruch. The Aruch was a Rishon who lived in Rome and who wrote a dictionary of Talmudic Hebrew. So he writes that this imitation tcheles, which you couldn't tell a difference. It was impossible to tell the difference between the real tcheles and the imitation tcheles. He writes that what the Gemara refers to as kloilon, the imitation tcheles, is what we call indigo. So indigo, we know what color it is. It's blue. So that's why we assume that the tcheles is also blue. If it would be a different color, you'd be able to tell the difference between the imitation, which is indigo, the real tcheles. So the Gemara says the tcheles has to be the same color as indigo. It has to come from a specific source, namely from some kind of a sea animal that's available in the Mediterranean, that's known as the chilazon. So this is a big question, what exactly is the chilazon? So the Nevi'im Yehuda has a tshuva about it. Is it a kosher fish? Is it a non-kosher fish? Does it have to be? Does it have to come from a kosher fish? Does the dye for the tcheles have to come from a kosher fish? Then Yehuda's son has a long arichas, much discussion about what exactly is the chilazon to identify it for the purpose of the tcheles. So the late... So in the late 1800s, there was a famous Hasidic Rebbe, the Ratziner Rebbe, who was famous for writing his commentary on Seder Taurus. He collected Seder Taurus. We have no Gemara, no Babli, no Yerushalmi. So this Ratziner Rebbe collected all the Gemaras that are relevant for the Mishnayos and Taurus, and he put them in the proper arrangement. So he composed a Talmud Babli on Seder Taurus. So he's famous for that, but he's also known as the Bala Tcheles. He lived in Radzin, which I think is in Poland, and he went specially to Italy to visit a gigantic aquarium in order to ascertain which sea animal could possibly be the chilazon, because he wanted to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash when the sum of the big dekuhuna required tcheles. In tzitzis, there is a machlekes hatanaim. If you have tzitzis without tcheles, then you have a partial kiyama mitzvah. So the generally accepted psak is that yes, that for so many centuries the Jews have been wearing tzitzis without tcheles, on the assumption that that's the din. Tcheles is not mi'akeves as halovan. You get partial credit. Some Rishonim paskin that there's no partial credit. Some Rishonim have adopted the position of the other Tana, Rebbe, that tcheles is mi'akeves as halovan. And they gain nothing by wearing tzitzis without tcheles. But the generally accepted view is that tcheles is not mi'akeves. But in the big de kahuna, the Tosefta says explicitly that if you didn't put tcheles where it's supposed to be, it's simply not kosher. So the Ratziner Rebbe felt that we have to show that we're interested in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. We have to try to do whatever preparations we can possibly do. So he went specially to this aquarium in Italy to ascertain, to find out how many sea animals could there possibly be that have this dye that you can use for tcheles. So somehow he came up with the conclusion that was, he had many tens of thousands of Hasidim before the Second World War were wearing the Ratziner Rebbe's tcheles. He came up with the conclusion that it's the dye that comes from a squidfish. That the squidfish spits this dye out, and it must be that that's the tcheles. So many Gedolim disagreed with him. It was a big machlokes. Many agreed, many disagreed. And one of those who did not agree with the Radzina Rebbe, who felt that it was not the Tchelis, was the author of the Beis HaLevi. That was Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, the father of the famous Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. And there are two versions of what exactly he said. So one version has it, the Soloveitchik family, who are descendants from this Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, their tradition, both the family in Eretz Yisrael and the family in America, the way they present it is that their great-grandfather claimed that you have to have a masorah, you have to have a tradition to identify which sea animal is the chilazon, and if you figure it out based on archaeological evidence, based on dictionary evidence, you can prove what the word chilazon means in different languages, or what chelis means in different languages. That's not acceptable. You have to have a masora ish mipi ish to identify anything in the Gemara. Let's say the Gemara makes a distinction between Oriz and Dochen, that Oriz is Barit Mina Mizainis, but when you finish eating it, you say Barit Nefashis, and Dochen is not like that. Dochen is plain Barit Pri Adama. So Tesis has two opinions, whether Oriz is rice or Dochen is rice. As everybody today knows, you ask any Puerto Rican on the street in Washington Heights, what is Aroz? And they tell you Aroz is rice. You ask any Arab in Eretz Yisrael, Aroz is rice. So everybody assumes that Oriz is rice. So the Soloveitchik family holds that it's a suffix. We cannot follow dictionaries, and we cannot reconstruct the Masora from the Arabs or from the Puerto Ricans, since the Masora was lost, so it's a Sveikir Adina. We'll have to wait till Echveis Aliyah, Anavi comes, and the Yala Ela. No, it's a question of what bracha to say.
So what do they do?
So you say Bar Priha Daman. You're not supposed to say Bar Minuzan. So you say Bar Priha Daman. So the Soloveitchik family feels that you cannot reconstruct the Masora that was lost as far as translating what words in the Gemara mean. So if you don't know what the Chalazon is, it doesn't help to go to an aquarium and to figure it out logically or archaeologically. The other version of what the Beis HaLevi's objection to the Radzina Rebbe's Chiddush about Tcheles, the other version says just the reverse. If you would have, and the other version was sent by an associate, a friend of the Beis HaLevi, sent a letter to the Radzina Rebbe, which the Radzina Rebbe later printed. One of his svarim, he printed Shlosha Sifrei HaTcheles, three different svarim about the Tcheles. So one of the latest svarim, the second and the third, he has a collection of letters, reactions to his discovery of the Tcheles. So he has Rabbanim who are for and Rabbanim who are against. So he quotes that this associate, the friend of the Beis HaLevi, who was the Rav in Brisk, the Yosh Beis HaLevi, that friend writes that the Brisk Rav was opposed to his Tcheles, because our fathers and our grandfathers always knew about the squid fish, and they knew that it spits up this black dye, and it never occurred to them that they should use this for the tchelis. So the fact that it was available, the fish was available, and they knew all about it, and they never used it, as considered as if we have a masoris, that the squid is not the tchelis. And he writes in the letter to the Radzina Rebbe, if you would come up with a different fish and explain to us why the Tcheles got lost, how come the tradition of using Tcheles got lost, I would be the first one to go along with you to use your Tcheles. But you tell me it's a squid fish, it can't be. We have a tradition, we have a masor, we knew about the squid fish, we never used it. So the two different versions as to why the Beis HaLevi was opposed to this Chiddush of the Radzina Rebbe. One of the prominent Rabbanim in Flatbush used to correspond with Rabbi Yashiv Zuchan Lebrach, and he asked him which of the two versions of the Beis HaLevi makes more sense to him. So he said the family's tradition doesn't make any sense to him. What do you mean you can't reconstruct the Masora based on archaeology? Well, we don't recognize archaeology for anything. The Pashta says that we do. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim. All the Tanaim who discuss it lived after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. They never saw Kain Gadol wearing a tzitzis, wearing a tzitz. So the Pasuk says in Chumash that the tzitz has to have engraved on it Kodesh LaHashem. And the Tanaim had a dispute, how exactly did it appear on the tzitz? Was it all in one line, Kodesh LaHashem? Or was it in two different lines, Kodesh on a lower line with a lamed, and then Yudkei Vavkei on a higher line, continuing? So you read from the second line back to the upper line, Kodesh LaHashem, on two lines. So this was a Machlokes HaTanaim, both of whom, all of whom never saw the tzitz. Each one is saying a tradition. So then the Gemara quotes, one of the Tanoim says, I was in Rome, and I saw in the Vatican, they showed me the tzitz, and it's on one line. So he thought that that was evidence, archaeological evidence, they have a tzitz there. So you see that it's on one line. The Gemara doesn't say that we don't accept archaeological evidence. So it would appear from the Gemara that you can't follow archaeology. There's a problem, although the Rambam Paschim is supposed to be in two lines. So the commentaries on the Rambam ask, how can the Rambam ignore the archaeological evidence? Mar says, one of the Tanoim was in Rome, and the Begrad, they happened to show him the tzitz, and he said, it was on one line, so how can the Rambam Paschim in two lines? So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in his commentary, Kesef Mishnah, on the side of the Rambam, that every Kohen Gadol had a different size head. And the tzitz had a fit on his head. Tosis is not sure exactly where he put the tzitz. V'hoya al mitzcha tamid means on the forehead, right below the hairline, or is it perhaps at the beginning of the hairline? Because the Targum Onkelos on the word al mitzcha writes he should put the tzitz bein enohi, and you put the tefillah bein enecha means on the hair, not below the hair. So Tosfos is not sure. Tosfos also never saw a Kohen Gadol wearing a tzitz. So Tosfos in the beginning of Sukkah and other Masechtas, Tosfos in Yuma. So Tosfos is not sure whether he's supposed to wear the tzitz on your forehead. Kohen Gadol wears it on his forehead or above the hairline, but whatever has to fit the head of the Kohen Gadol. So different Kohanim Gedolim probably had different tzitz in made. There were several hundred Kohanim. The Gemara says there were 400 Kohanim Gedolim during the period of the Bai Sheni. They used to buy their way into the office and they used to dine. They used to buy their way into office by bribing the Roman government. So maybe the Tana, the Kesef Mishnah writes, Yosef Kara writes in his commentary on the Rambam, maybe the Tana who is brought into the treasury of the Vatican saw one sitz that was on one line. Maybe there were many others that were on two different lines. Maybe there were two opinions. This Bombay Shady, and the majority held that it should be on two lines, and that was a quirk of history. We happen to see that since that was on one line, but at least you see from the Gemara that they were so the archaeology didn't necessarily prove the point. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. But you see from the Gemara that you can't follow archaeology to determine what a halacha is. Or the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about the Amora Rabba Baba Chana, who was traveling in the Midbar, he had an Arab tour guide showing him the way, Hahut Taya. A Taya usually means an Arab. So the Gemara says, when Rabba Baba Chana came back to the yeshiva after his whole tour, so they asked him, oh, they showed you the Mesa Midbar, the dead bodies from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Did you look on the tzitzis to see how many strings there were? Because there was a dispute in the days of the Tanoim between Basilil and Bishamai. I was supposed to put in three long strings, fold them over to make six. That's Basilil's opinion. I was supposed to put in four long strings and fold them over to make eight. That's Bishamai's opinion. We follow Bishamai. So they asked Rabbi Baba Chana, did you look, if they showed you the Mesa Midbar, did you look at the tzitzis to see archaeological evidence, who's right, whether Bishama Bissel, so he said it didn't even occur to him. So they were angry at Rabbi Baba Chana. They said, what a moron, what an idiot. He saw the Mesa Midbar, he had an opportunity to bring archaeological evidence to shed light on the dispute between Moshe and Mizil, and it didn't even occur to him. So you see from the Gemara that you do accept archaeological evidence. Then in the Shulchan Aruch there's a famous comment. There is a famous dispute between Rashi and Rabbi Natan regarding the order of the Parshias and the Tefillin. Whether you put Kadesh Vayoki Niyach or Shema Bahayoyim Shemoa, or you put it in a different order, Kadesh Vayoki Niyach Bahayoyim Shemoa and Shema last in the Shalrosh. How exactly do you arrange the Parshias? So the Beis Yosef and the Prisha on Hilchas Tefillin quote that they found Tefillin the Rabbi Natan and Kevi Yecheskel Navi, where the Parshios were arranged, like the Rabbi Natan says that you have in the middle the two Vahayoyim Shamayas next to each, Vahayoyim Yachav, Vahayoyim Shamayas next to each other, and Shema at the end. So they have archaeological evidence that in the days of Yecheskel Navi they were Tefillin the Rabbi Natan. So the others responded, it doesn't necessarily prove the point. Maybe the Tefillin were possible, and that's where they were going as then. You have to know what the archaeology is proving. Let's say you find a mikveh for the days of the Tanaim, and the mikveh doesn't conform to the size of the Chazanish. Chazanish has bigger shurim than everybody else. So you can't necessarily prove that the Chazanish is wrong. Maybe the mikveh was from the Isiim, from the non-Orthodox Jews, who says that it was a kosher mikveh. So it's not that we don't rely on archaeology. We do rely on archaeology, but you have to understand what is the archaeology proof. So that was a big dispute, still being disputed today. They have evidence. There's a chevra in Eretz Yisrael who produce tcheles from a shelled animal, from mollusk, that's available in the Mediterranean. And others say that we don't have any Masora, we don't follow archaeology. We're not so convinced. It seems a little strange to say that we don't follow archaeology. That's what Rav Al-Yashiv thought, that we should follow archaeology. He thought that it should be a good indication. The idea of having two parts to the strings and the tzitzis, that you have some are Bavon and some are Tcheles, carries over into next week's parsha, into Korach. Rashi, the beginning of Parshas Korach, quotes a medrash that he made very famous, that Korach wanted to do away with the tcheles. He said, if you have a beged that's the whole garment is dyed tcheles, maybe there's no need to have any chute tcheles in the corner. So what did he have against the tcheles? Why did he want to do away with the chute tcheles? What was the big deal over here? Rav Soloveitchik had a drasha on this, partially based on what Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has his commentary on Chumash, partially based on other sources, that in life there are a lot of things that are very obvious and very clear, and that's what we call lavan are things that are clear to everyone. As we have a pasuk in Chumash, Uforso Hasimlo, the Eni Haskenim, in the Parsha of Moitzi Shemra, so the Mara interprets, it doesn't mean that they spread out the Simlo, the sheet, but rather, Dvorim Chuvorim Kisimlo. Most of the dresses in the days of Tanakh didn't have any color, they were white. There were such things, it was much more expensive. Big Dixivonim, if a woman had colored dresses, but most of the stam dresses were white. So first, our similar refers to things that are very clear and obvious to all. Dvarim mechuvarim, mechuvar means white. The Ravid, when he disagrees with the Rambam, says lo mechuvar, it's not clear. When something is clear, say mechuvar, it's white. When it's not clear, lo mechuvar, it's not white. So lavan represents those things, those issues in life that are clear, open and shut. Tcheles is doimel lekisei hakoved, doimel lerakia, doimel lekisei hakoved, things that we can't really fathom at all, things that we can't understand. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, every person has to realize that as smart as he is, and as much learning Torah as he has, everyone has to realize that there's an area of tcheles. No one should think that everything is lavan, and everyone has to have a Rebbe to ask the Shabbos. And if the Rebbe is no longer alive, the person has to try to figure out what would my Rebbe say if he would be alive. There are a lot of people who guess wrong. They know, they think they understand their Rebbe so well, they can tell you what their Rebbe would have said if he would have been alive, based on their agenda. They have an agenda in life, pushing a certain cause, and they interpret that their Rebbe would have said the same as they would have said. Well, a person has to be honest with himself, to realize, everyone has to recognize that there's an area that's unclear, that's treles, Dharma Lakisa have covered things we can't fathom, and you have to have a Rebbe. So that's exactly the rebellion of Korach was Kol Eilu Kulim Kedoshim. Everyone stood at Har Sinai. Everyone can interpret the religion on their own. We don't need Moshe Rabbeinu to paskin the shailos for us. That's in our generation, you have a lot of people that have that attitude. We don't need Rabbanim to paskin the shailos. We all learned in yeshivas, Kavana Chacham, Kavana Levanim, Kavana Zekeim. You have your Google, and you have your internet, and you can find all the marmakimus on any given shayla. So you don't need any rabbanim to paskin any shayla. So that was exactly why Korach was opposed to the Tchelis. Tchelis is supposed to represent that area in life that's unclear, that we have to ask shayla. So it's important. If it's possible to get trailers, if it's not possible, we really should have trailers. For so many generations, that trailers was not available. So the Beis Halevi writes in his Tshuvas, how can we wear tzitzis without trailers? Isn't that a violation of Baltigra? We have a pasuk in the Chumash, Lo Sosifu, Avadova Shanechem Tzav Eschem, Lo Sigru Vimenu. You're not permitted to do a mitzvah big Yiro'on. So the Beis Halevi in his Tshuvas quotes from a Rashba. What do you mean? If a person is going to have a mezuzah that only has one paragraph instead of two, it's going to have a talis that only has tzitzis in three corners instead of four, or it's going to have tefillin that only has three out of the four parshios, that's not baltigra. It's a bracha levatala when he puts on the tefillin, and it's not yotze the mitzvah tefillin. Why do you need a pasuk of baltigra? You're just not yotze. So the Beis Halevi quotes a Rashba in Rosh Hashanah. Baltigra only applies if a person is yotze in the mitzvah b'di'evet, but he didn't do it the way he's supposed to do l'hatchila. So the example that Mishnah gives is a korban chatos. Korban chatos, he's supposed to sprinkle the dam on all the four corners of the mizbeach. B'di'evet, if you only did zrikas adam on one of the corners of the mizbeach, b'di'evet, the korban will be kosher. So if a person does l'chatchila, what's only acceptable, but b'di'evet, the korban is kosher, but that is a violation of baltigra. So that's what the Beis Halevi applies to wearing tzitzis without chelas. B'di'evet, one is in the fulfillment of the mitzvah, shelo b'shlemuso, but it's not permissible to do a mitzvah shelo b'shlemuso. So he asked, how are we permitted all these generations to wear tzitzis with only lavan? Why wasn't that a violation of baltigra? So he says it was a violation.
It was.
But mitzvah sasei doche mitzvah lo sasei, because we're interested in wearing tzitzis and we have no choice. Yafshe l'kayim shem. We didn't know what was exactly tchelis. We lost the tradition. So the mitzvah sasei of putting on tzitzis is doche the lo sasei of baltigra. But if a person has tchelis available and he doesn't bother to try to use it, so then you can't say mitzvah sase decha mitzvah sloy sase. It's actually the kaim shneim. You can fulfill the mitzvah sase of tzitzis with the bishlei musa, with the trelos. So it would be better already not to wear the four-cornered garment at all, not to obligate oneself. One is only obligated to wear tzitzis if he wear a four-cornered garment. It should be better not to wear the whole four-cornered garment in the first place, rather than to wear it and to not bother putting on the trailers.
Okay.
This Shabbos is Shabbos Mevarchim Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And whenever we bench Rosh Chodesh, we offer a tefillah. Misha Asan Nisim Lavisenu. B'goa Loisa Me'abduz L'cheres. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam who redeemed us from Eretz Mitzrayim. He should bring a gula soon. There seems to be a special connection between Rosh Chodesh Benshin and Geula. So the commentaries on this Siddur explain that the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZalachem, the Kviyas HaLuach, the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to establish the Yiddish calendar, Shabbos is Kviya V'Kayma Misheshis Mei Bereishis. When the Rabban Shalom created the world, he established Shabbos, and he was Mekadosh Shabbos. We don't have to lift a finger. We recite Kiddush, we add additional Kedusha to the day of Shabbos. But even if he wouldn't recite Kiddush, Shabbos would be Kodesh by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Ola Shabbos. By Rosh Chodesh and Yamim Tovim, we participate. We're the ones who create the Kedushas Hayom. So this koyach was given to Bnei Yisrael on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodoshim. The mitzvah was given to us at that time. So that's what the commentaries explain. In connection with our Rosh Chodesh benching, we are in fulfillment of that mitzvah, Kviyas HaLuach, establishing when Rosh Chodesh will be, the Mela, when all the Yamim Tovim will be. So in the schus of fulfilling that mitzvah that was given to us at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be zecher to the Geula HaAsira. Why was the mitzvah given at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So that's what the Mefarshim and the Chumash explain. That a person who was a slave, Kozman, we were avodim in Mitzrayim, time didn't mean too much to us. When you're a free person, and you have the right to earn money, and to put the money away in a savings account, so then the time is valuable. So then the Rabbanu Shalom, on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us, HaChodesh HaLachem, it's up to us to control the time and to see to it that we do something significant with the time. So time is meaningful, and we have the ability to be mekadosh this man. So that's why initially the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZalachem, the Kviyas HaLuach, was given on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And because the two were connected, that's why now we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeschus of our being Kaveh, when Rosh Chodesh will be. Next week Rosh Chodesh Tammuz will be Wednesday, Thursday. So the Baruch Shalom should be mezakas to give us a Geula B'Korah. Amen.